I want you to hear this part, you guys. So full of fish that they both began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, it says he fell at the knees of Jesus. Fell at the knees of Jesus. So he's pretty much, I'm thinking, waist deep in stinky, smelly fish. But it's face to face with Jesus. And he's looking in the eyes of his precious Lord. And he's saying, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. But in the eyes of his Savior, he sees the reflection of himself. And as I pondered that this week, I got to thinking about, have any of you all gone to a circus or a fair or whatever and gone up to one of those mirrors that's like a distorted mirror? And it either made you look so skinny you couldn't be alive or so big that you couldn't walk. I mean, you know, that weird mirror. I think a lot of times we as humans tend to look at our lives and that's what we see. We see that distortion. But when we look in the eyes of Jesus and we are truly reflected there, we see us as he sees us. In his image, who we are truly. Amen? So today, no matter what your week has made you look like, no matter how rough or how awesome it's been, that's in the past, and today is a new day, and his mercy is new for you today. So today, as we worship the Lord this morning, could we truly take the opportunity to fall at his knees, look straight in his eyes, and see us reflected there as he sees us? Father, this morning we come to you, and I pray that as each heart begins to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father, that we would truly open up and truly honor and bless you as you deserve to be honored and blessed, that we would worship you, that we would praise you, Lord, the way you need us to do it today. No matter what's come in the past or even what happens in the future, today is our opportunity. Help our hearts to be open. Help us to be available to you to do whatever you want to do today in this service, in our lives, in our hearts, Jesus. Be glorified in Jesus' name.
Come on, let's just lift up our hands to the Lord and let's just focus on him right now, Jesus. Voices. As I come into your presence and past the gates of praise into your sanctuary till we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, I can only bow down and say that you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence and past the gates of praise into your sanctuary where we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, I can only bow down and say, you are Lord, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father, you are worthy of all praise, to you our lives we raise, you are awesome in this place, mighty God, oh you. In this place, Abba Father, you are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Come on, just the voices, sing it to the Lord. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome, Lord. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Come on, give him a great shout of praise. God, you are worthy. You are awesome, God. You are glorious, Lord Jesus. You are awesome, Lord, in this place. We glorify you, Jesus. Come on, church. You are worthy, Lord God. You are mighty, Lord God. God, there is no one like you, Jesus. There's no higher name, God. There is no higher name, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Come on, how many is just ready to rejoice in the Lord this morning? God, we are ready to rejoice in you, Jesus. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you are a victory. God, that there's no Lord, there's no sin. God, there's no devil in hell, God, that can separate us from your love, Lord. We worship you. Better than life. Come on, sing that again. Your love is better than life.
Your love is better than life. From the mountaintops, I will proclaim, great is your love, great is your name. Sorrows and my shame gave me joy and peace. You are my victory. You are my strength when I am weak. You're the life inside of me, and forever I will sing. You are my victory. Oh, 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 oh. Your love is better than life. Your love is better than life.
Come on, from the mountaintops, let's proclaim.
From the mountaintops, I will proclaim. Great is your love, great is your name.
Come on, here we go.
You turn my darkness. Sorrows and my shame gave me joy and peace. You are my victory. You are my strength when I am weak. You're the life inside of me, and forever I will sing. You are my victory. Oh, 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 oh. Joy and peace, you are my victory. you are Lord. Yes, you are God.
Right here.
It will be my joy to say,
sing it out.
Your will, Your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, Your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, Your ways, always. 'Cause I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to You alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from You. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, lay me down, lay me down. Oh, lay me down, lay me down.
Yes, Lord. We lay our lives down, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It'd be my joy to say, Your will, Your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, Your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, Your way, always. Yes, it will, Lord. Come on, let's just sing that one more time, and just from the depths of our heart, let's just sing that to the Lord. There's so much power, there's so much meaning behind those words right there.
It will be my joy to say, Your will, Your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, Your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, Your way, always.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Chains have been broken, and eyes have been opened. An army of dry bones is starting to rise, and death is defeated. We are victorious, for you are alive. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah, 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 singing hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One voice. One song. One body broken. One spotless sacrifice shed his blood. Today we get to remember the Lord till he comes back in communion. And if you're new here, what we do is we'll continue to worship. And as families, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll come up and we just share in communion together just around the table. There's one over here and one here. But I'm just going to take a moment and just help remind us what it's all about. It's about his broken body, broken for you and me. He became broken so that we could be made whole. Bottom line, he was broken so we could be made whole. So when you take that bread, just remember that even though it's just, you know, a piece of bread, it represents his broken body for you, for you. So as you take it, just thank the Lord for his grace and his love, his incomprehensible love. You can't wrap your mind around it. But his love laid down his life for you and I, broke his body. In a way you could say Jesus broke his own body. Some people say, well, no, the Romans did it. No, he chose to have that body broken. And his blood, the cup, juice that we have this morning. When you take that, just know that represents total righteousness for you and God. That his blood doesn't just cover your sins, it makes you like him, 100% righteous. It says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when you can take that representation of his spilled blood and you drink it, you thank him for righteousness. You thank him for a power that took you in your worst state and made you your very best. And even when you're in a bad state now, the righteousness keeps working because it's in Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you, Lord, your broken body represents our healing, represents our restoration, represents our wholeness. Lord, so we release the wholeness of God today as we take and participate in communion, Lord. We just release, Lord, your healing power, your healing anointing today, God, in your people. Lord, that bodies that have been plagued with things for years are going to be made free today, Lord, because of your broken body. Lord, we thank you, God, for the broken, Lord, body that brings us wholeness in our mind and our thoughts. Lord, for those who are plagued, Lord, with depression and anxiety and fear, Lord, we thank you that you were broken so that we could be made whole in these areas as well. Thank you for your shed blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your blood is all it takes to make us righteous, to make us just as if we'd never sinned before God the Father. Thank you, Lord, for every drop of blood. We thank you for the drop of blood that was applied to our lives. Lord, we do. We just continue to proclaim your death, burial, and resurrection till you come back. And we long for that day, Lord. We're groaning, we're yearning, Lord, for this adoption, Lord, to be fulfilled, where our hope becomes seen, where we realize, Lord, what we've been waiting for so long. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for shed blood. Thank you, Jesus.
No sweeter name like
sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. 'Cause you are the light to my heart and my soul.
Let's all stand up one more time and let's just sing this to the Lord.
Singing this part, and it says, "You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken." I really felt like there, I know that fits me today for some reason in recent days as well. And I really feel like today there's more than one person that is dealing with a spirit of depression. And how many of you guys know that an unhappy Christian is an oxymoron? That people who follow Jesus are supposed to be full of joy. Now, there are going to be things in your life that are going to bring you down and that are going to make you sad. And there's a season for mourning. So I'm not saying you can't be sad, but what I'm saying, to stay in that state is illegal in the kingdom. That there is joy in the kingdom, that there is happiness in the kingdom, that there is freedom in the kingdom. So I just want to go after this spirit of depression. And if that's you, I just want you to stand up. I want you to declare your joy, to take your joy, to take your freedom, to know that Jesus died on a cross for you so that you could experience whole freedom, not partial freedom, not partially the kingdom, but all of the kingdom. So right now, if that's you, I just want you to stand up, lift your hands, and just declare this to God, because God loves you. He doesn't want to see you sad. He doesn't want to see you depressed. And that depression is illegal in the kingdom. It's illegal. It does not belong there. That Jesus died on the cross so you could have joy, that you could have abundance joy, not just a little bit, a lot of joy. Come on, so let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, God, that you died on a cross for us, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you could bring joy into our lives, God. I thank you, Father, that you're lifting off the spirit of depression off of those who are feeling it, God. I thank you, Jesus, that right now, Lord, that your kingdom is falling down, God, that joy is breaking out in this place, God, that people are getting filled with joy right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that joy is abundant in this place today, God, not just because we're in church, not because we're getting hyped up, but because Jesus is alive in our hearts, because Jesus is alive today, because Jesus died on the cross for us, and that because Jesus loves us enough that he wants to see us happy, that we have the best dad in the world, and he wants to give us everything and more. And we thank you, Father, that we, Lord, are happy, Lord, because we are in your presence, Father. And Lord, we just smile in your kingdom, God. We just smile in your presence, Jesus. And we just declare right now that no more depression in Jesus' name.
I just want to add to that. It's like I keep seeing a Band-Aid in my brain. And today, God just wants to rip the Band-Aid off, as painful as that is, because I know staying there in that place is comfortable. But he wants you to, you actually have to do the job. You have to rip the Band-Aid off. And that way he can come in and he can cleanse it and heal it. So take the Band-Aid off. Rip it off. It's kind of like, you know, those the labels that we put on ourselves: depressed, anxiety, fearful, abandoned, you know, broken. It's time to rip it off. Rip it off so that God can do his redeeming work in your life today. Today. And if you come here every Sunday and this is your Band-Aid, I'm sorry, it's not good enough. Church isn't good enough. The people around you, I'm sorry, aren't good enough. God only is good enough to do the job. And he's a finisher. He finishes what he starts. So if you just start peeling, he'll finish it in Jesus' name. God, right now I pray, Father, that you would just start doing a healing work in this place, God. Father, I pray that your spirit of joy would be replaced with that sorrow, God. Father, that you would help those that are hurting, God, those that are broken, Father. God, that those that feel like they're in a place that they can't possibly get out of, God, but God, you just scoop them up and you take them and you take them out of that miry clay, God, and you set their feet on solid ground. Father, today is that day, God, and I just pray, Lord, that you would do the replacing work that you did. It's already finished, God. You already did the work. So God, we're just receiving it today. We're claiming that you've done the work and we're going to take a hold of it. Thank you, Jesus. If I had $100 in my pocket right now and I held it up, I wish I did, because I would do it in a heartbeat. If I had $100 in my hand, what would it take for you to get it? What would it take? Show me. That's it. That's what God wants you to do today. Run up and grab it. Take a hold of what the inheritance that he has for you right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Something this week, and this is apt for this. It says, the enemy, Satan, he knows your name. Believe me, he knows our names. But he doesn't call us by our name, he calls us by our sin. Now God knows our sin, but he doesn't call us by our sin. He calls us by our name. He calls us by our name. And our name to him, yes, it's Kelly. But in front of that, it's beloved. It's my child. Our name is his. Always, his claim is on us. So when the enemy calls you by your sin, you have every right in the power of God to stand there and claim, my name is not abandoned. My name is not smoker. My name is not sinner. My name is beloved child of God. My name is Vicky, and I am the beloved child of God.
We lift up one voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sing hallelujah
to our God. We lift up one voice to our God. We lift up one song to our God. We lift up one voice. Singing hallelujah to our God. We lift up one voice to our God. We
lift up one song to our God.
Father, I just want to thank you for those who have been set free today from depression. God, you wouldn't bring it up. You wouldn't let us know prophetically unless you really meant to deal with it. So, Lord, we thank you right now, God, that those who have been suffering from weight and anxiety and depression and fear and all those things, God, that seem to just keep us in a dark cloud, Lord, that you're shining your light, your glorious light on them today, Lord. Father, your word says that when we know the truth, it shall make us free. So right now, in Jesus' name, we just release the truth, the root of this depression. We release the truth and the lies that have been binding and keeping your children under the dark cloud right now in Jesus' name. We release the truth that they are loved, that was so brought to us a moment ago, that they are loved. That they can't do anything to keep you from loving them. Lord, you love us. You call us by our name. So, Lord, I pray that that truth would just solidify in the hearts of those who are being set free from depression today. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies for the kingdom of God that will be coming in the weeks, Lord, of how you had set them free from depression. Thank you, Lord, you do all things well. You don't do things halfway. You do them complete. So, Lord, we thank you for the complete restoration, Lord, to your children today. We glorify you. Yes, Lord, we make your name glorious. We make praise glorious in this place, Lord, for you, God. We just exalt you, Jesus. You are so worthy. You are so worthy, Lord, of our praise, of our adoration, of our attention, Lord, of our focus. You're so worthy of it, God. And we do. We set our gaze on you right now. Set our gaze on you right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we just need to speak to our soul and tell it what to do instead of letting a soul conduct our life for us. Sometimes we just need to just tell our soul, break forth into joy, oh my soul. Because what Jesus has done for me and what the Father has done for me and what Holy Spirit is inside of me is worth breaking into joy for. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we just need to say, you know what? The word says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So, Lord, break forth into joy in my soul right now. Sometimes you got to act like you've got it till it really appears. I'm not telling you to fake it. Some people say fake it, you make it. I'm talking about saying, the word says this, so I'm going to believe that. I'm going to act on it just as if it's true, because it is. Praise the Lord. Yep. Depression is a lie. Sickness and disease is a lie. It's a lie. In Christ, it does not exist. It doesn't. It is a false evidence appearing real. And the fear grips your heart. So do not let your soul dictate how you're going to live. Your mind, will, and emotions. Let your spirit connect with God. Say, be still, O my soul, and listen to the voice of the Father. Listen to Holy Spirit inside of me speak to you right now. You come into obedience with the Word of God. Right? We're a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body, but we're spirit. We're spirit, and that's what we are. And so our spirit can run our lives by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, team. Awesome. Never the same, is it? Never the same in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sure you guys have already noticed who's in the house because he actually shared a little bit, but Eric and Nancy, all the way from Redding, California, are in the house. Sitting on the front row. You didn't have to kick anybody out of that spot either, did you? That's so cool. Well, let's have them come up. And at the same time, would the children come up, and Impact and Youth come up? And I want to hear them share a little bit what God's doing in their lives. And Eric is going to bring it to Impact and the Youth today. So I guess that's a statement of faith. You're going to bring it, right?
Here you go. Thank you.
And you can dismiss them.
I can.
You can dismiss them. Yeah, you can pray.
All right, cool. All right, so I think most of you know us, myself and my wife and my children. But if you don't, again, I'm Eric Lopez, my wife Nancy Lopez, and Caden and Skyly. And our good friend Katie was there with us too. She's back home now. And we went down to Reading back in September, and we went to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry for our first year. And we totally went by faith and believed God for it, and it was scary. And a lot of times I thought that we were the biggest idiots in the world, but God came through every month, and you know, through people in the church, through anonymous donations. I found money in my pocket, like just crazy stuff like that. God just came through. He's real. He's alive, and he wants us to step out in that way. So I just wanted to let you guys know we are going to second year for another year. We're going to be at school. That's our plan, and we're believing God again for our tuition. We just to kind of rewind a little bit. Nancy and I were there, and Katie and the kids were there for this last school year. We didn't have jobs for the first 7 months we were there. We had food, rent, gas, all that stuff to pay for. But God came through, and now in the last couple months we've been able to get jobs, Nancy and myself, and so we're able to sustain ourselves that way. However, we're still believing God for our tuition. And so if you'd like to partner with us, there's multiple ways to do that, and you can get a hold of me or Nancy or Pastor Mike. And we're also going to be doing a newsletter that should be here next weekend. We just want you guys to be, we really poorly did that this last year, staying connected, and I really want you guys to, like, you know our heart, know what's going on. So there'll be a newsletter every month that we send to the church just saying, hey, this is where we're at, this is our prayer needs, this is what's going on, this is what God's doing. You know, our heart is here still, we love you guys, and we want you guys to know that we appreciate your prayers especially, and anyone who's given financially as well. It's been more than, you know, I can't even express in words how much that means to us. And so just know God is alive and he's real, and he's providing for us even still. And so I'm going to dismiss the children, because they're beautiful. So Jesus, I just thank you for these beautiful children. I thank you, God, that you're living in them, Lord, and that they're not just little kids, Lord, but they have something amazing inside of their hearts, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're going to do amazing things, Lord, through these teens, through these preteens, and through these little kids, the toddlers as well, Jesus, and that you do not age discriminate of who you can use, God, and that you will use these kids to do amazing things and much more, even more than us adults, Father. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Children, you can go down, but Impact, hold for just a second. I'm got to let you know that coming on July 30th through August 22nd is Impact Student Ministries Summer Interns. So I want to let you know that it's going to be $50, and that is a three-day a week event. It happens on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and on Thursdays from 12 to 5:30. So in the back, there are envelopes if you'd like to sign up for that or have your parents sign you up. Not everyone has $50 for them, but please let others know about it, and we're looking forward to having a great class again this year, okay? Bless you guys. You can head on out.
Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I could worship all day. Really, I could. And, you know, we have a, I guess we can move this here. We have a standard that is a heavenly standard, and that there are angelic beings around God's throne, and you know all they do is worship. So it sounds like there's a lot of worship in heaven. So I believe that's Holy Spirit working in our hearts right now and inspiring us to have heaven here. So, I totally forgot about it. I need to hold it to remember. I mean, I'm just like those of you who are in Men's Transform know that I am like squirrel, it's like, right? I think it's a guy thing, but I think it's I think it's a Mike Lindell. No. You should be at Men's Transformed. We're like everywhere. This coming Wednesday is our summer picnic, and we'll be at Kissel Park at 5:30. This is the sign-up sheet. The church will be supplying a major, part of an entree, but you are the ones who will bring side dishes. If we don't have side dishes, desserts, veggie trays, or anything else, it's because you didn't bring it. So bring it. Oh, set up. Yeah, Jay Jackson's in charge of setup. If you would like to help, or do you have it all squared away, or not set up, breakdown, cleanup. But we're looking for people to set up. Is that what it is? Okay. If you would like to help set up, I'm so glad that she's here, on Wednesday, please see me afterwards. It's basically just putting out the food, getting the food from the church. We have water and stuff we take over there, punch. And if you'd like to help do that, just come see me after church. How's that? Now, Jay Jackson, do you have it all set to go? Is it all?
Sure.
You're so good. Okay. No, you don't? Do you need volunteers or you just go off the list? Okay, you'll be fine. All right. Praise the Lord. What's that? Oh. Funny comment or something? Well, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be in Romans 8. Been in Romans 8 a little bit. Huh?
There is no condemnation.
Yep. That's not where we're going to be, but that is a good one. We're going to be, I think, at verse 18. There's other places I could go in the Word, some things the Lord's showing me, but I don't think I'm ready to unleash it. So, but this has been in my heart for a while, and I think it's really appropriate for the day and the hour that we live in, and that you guys can know kind of what's going on inside of you. If you're like me, there's like a rumbling that's kind of going on inside of you, like I've never really experienced before. I mean, I always kind of, had a longing to be more like Jesus and all those things, but now there's this like, and somebody said, well, you're just getting older, Pastor. I don't know if that's it. I mean, are others feeling a rumbling? I mean, like a stirring like you've never felt before? Barb is one. And anybody else feeling like God's, Jay? I'm sure more of you would raise your hand if I really put you on the spot. But, I mean, something's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it's in the Spirit. I believe it's supernatural. And Romans 8 here kind of talks a little bit about it. And I don't know if I'll be able to get into all of it, because there's a lot to cover in these like seven verses, but I want to go ahead and just kind of start sharing a little bit and see what the Lord does. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is alive. I say that a lot, but I don't want to ever take it for granted that your word is not just stagnant on a page. It's not just ink. It's not just pixels on a tablet. Lord, it's alive. And Lord, it has life in it. And Lord, that as we read your word and we gain understanding and you speak directly to our hearts about what we read, Lord, that when Rhema comes, Lord, it brings life. Lord, it brings that revelation of truth, Lord, that makes us free. And so, Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that as I have the grace to share, that your word would go forth in power and in strength and anointing, God. And it would break yokes of bondage. It would release people from deceptions and schemes of the enemy that's kept them bound and kept them in a place of running in circles. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are working in us for your good pleasure. Lord, you're not just pushing off to the side, Lord, and gathering another team, Lord. You're choosing us, Lord, in this day and this hour. We've been placed here for such a time as this, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, I hope I can do justice to this portion of this passage, because it is very, very meaty and powerful. But Paul starts out by saying, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." This is kind of the focus of all these next verses that follow. That the sufferings that we go through now, and you know, about a month ago now, I taught on Romans 8:28, you know, which is all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we learned that the working together was us partnering with God by faith, that we're not going through sufferings for nothing, and that when we give to him our situation, our circumstances, so much bigger than us anyway, and walk alongside of him and look for him to make good out of it, he does. So praise God about that. But Paul's saying here, I don't consider that the sufferings of this present time, even the sufferings that we go through, are even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is a glory that is coming, and I believe there is a deposit of it here and now, but I believe that he's referring to a glory that will only take place when we see Jesus face to face, when we experience this mortal taking on immortality, when we go from this life to what I call real life. Because this is, how many knows that this is like a dream, the Bible describes it. It says in one of the Psalms, it says that those who are evil, that when they wake up out of their evil, or when they die and they are in the resurrection, that they're going to wake up and they're going to think they were living a dream. They're going to think they had a dream. Because all of a sudden, what they see and what they experience is going to be more real. Have you guys ever woke up from a dream and you kind of remember something was going on in the dream? Maybe you were being chased by a big old monster, or maybe you were pitching that perfect game or whatever it is. You know, sometimes dreams are I think a lost thing that we would like to have done as a kid, maybe an astronaut or something. But sometimes you wake up from a dream, you can't quite remember it, but you remember that there was an experience. This describes life like that to us. Now, that's pretty amazing. Because right now, this sure seems real, doesn't it? I mean, that's pretty hard stuff right there. But if you remember your I think it was physics, this is not really solid. It's only solid right now because of the temperature it's at. It's actually liquid, or it's particles that are actually floating around in here, but we can't even see it. So we live in a very, very temporal state. You might say that it's I don't want to say it's like an illusion, but it is like a false impression to us, what we see here and now. That's why we get so messed up as Christians, because we look at the natural and the sufferings of this present time, and we put so much weight on them when they're not to have weight put on them. As us as believers, we're not to put weight in this life. We're not. Some will say, well, what are we supposed to do then if we don't put weight in this life? And we're just supposed to walk around, and not work and not, take care of our business. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're not to make this life the priority. We're not to make this life what we put all of our effort into. It's the life to come. And when you put your effort in the life to come, guess what God said? When you seek his kingdom first, his righteousness, this life comes together, which is awesome. Which is, means you really don't have to try to figure this out. You focus on him, he'll help you figure it out. That's not even what I'm preaching on. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Who is us? Me, you, us, we, as the body of Christ, we as the family of God, we as those who are looking for his glorious appearing. Now listen to this. This is where it gets interesting. For the earnest expectation, the heavy desire of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now notice he put a four there. So that four means it's connecting what we just read. The sufferings this present time aren't going to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And this glory is the manifestation that creation's looking for right now. What's creation? You name it. Rocks. Anything that God spoke into existence is now, and God made, is now looking for this revealing of the sons of God. Wow. Some will say, well, you're pretty self-centered, Pastor Mike. Now you're saying all of creation is looking to you, not just to me, but it's looking to what God is going to do in us. Now, why would it be doing that? Why would creation have an interest in us? Why would creation turn its attention from being creation and say, what's going on over there? Because when we become what we're meant to be, when we reach this sons of God state in its fullness, the last year I have learned what it means to be a child of God. Started about this time last year, God said to me, I am your father. Mike, I am your father. Almost like that. I mean, it really was. Took me back. I'm like, I know, but why'd you say it that way? I mean, it was a sermon that I was preaching, and it was about Abba Father. And I preached it, but I didn't really know it. This last year, he's taken me to a place where I know I'm a son. I know I'm a child of God, and that's more of what I am than anything else now. I'm not a pastor first, not a husband first. I'm a child of God first, and everything else comes into alignment after that. Because I am his, and he is mine, and his banner over me is love, I can now love freely everyone else. And I can now be a pastor who loves with purity of heart, not out of any motives, not out of any agenda. It's a purity of heart. Because he loves me, I can love freely. But there is a limitation to the sons of God right now. And the more that I learn about being a son of God, the more I realize it is so limited right now that I yearn and I long for this fulfillment of being a child of God that is all that the child of God is called to be. And for some reason, creation is looking at what's going on inside of me, inside of you, just as much. Let's read on. For the earnest expectation, that's what the Bible says. Some of you are going, well, is he making this up? No, I'm not making this up. This is what Paul wrote several, at least 100 years, probably close to a couple thousand years now, right? Close?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, within reason. You know, I don't know how old he was when he wrote this, but this is 2,000 years ago, and it is coming to its fulfillment in these days. For 2,000 years, creation has been looking, but it's coming to a fulfillment in these next, I believe, could be 100, could be 200 years, could be 5 years. I don't know, but I know that it is getting closer because the yearnings are getting stronger. The groanings are getting stronger. The tension in the spirit is growing. That's what I'm talking about. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now, this is very, very different. Let me try to read that again. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. For this time, I'm going to go to the New Living Translation, just so that it might read it just a little more easier for us. Hang on here. Oh, now I'm in John. Okay, sorry. Technology is not always what it's cracked up to be. Okay, here it is. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. I love it the way it says that. but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For the creation was subjected to futility. This futility was the curse. When man fell from God's place of communion, fellowship in the garden, all of creation was cursed, not just man. Creation fell that day. What? You mean like the stars and like the universe? I believe that day somehow everything fell out of its perfect place. Isn't that crazy? I mean, we limit that fall in the garden to, you know, mankind fell and sin came and, now we're dealing with it. But so much more took place. The perfection that God created when he said, let there be light, and then created the heavens, created the earth, created the star, sun, moon, all those things, it was imperfection, folks. I believe it ran so smoothly. That's not to say that God's creation is anything less than 100% majestic and awesome, but it fell. I'm not just making that up. It says it. Yes. Now listen to this. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is why creation looks to us. Because we have the restoration of creation somehow hinging on us becoming fully the sons and daughters of God. Wow. And some of you are like, what? We, as the people of God, as the children of God, when we receive fully our inheritance, when we come out of a place of not death and decay and freedom in just faith, but hope becoming real when we, and I'm not talking about just one Christian going to heaven and that being the fulfillment. I'm talking about when it all winds up somehow, some way, when we're all standing before Jesus and our faith has become real. It's now not just faith anymore, it's tangible. It's 100% real. When we are standing there and we have been glorified into our full glorified bodies, then somehow creation is then going to be released from the bondage that she's under. Wow. Now, I didn't want to get into just a deep thing about, you know, creation and earthquakes and all that stuff. They all have parts to play. This has a deeper meaning when you start going into if creation is doing this and creation is just a bystander to it, then what's going on inside of us? What's happening inside these earthen vessels that we need to know about so that we're not fooled and we're not in some way led astray because of the groanings that are inside of us and someone or something manipulating them? Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. How many mothers are out there? How many are soon to be a mother again? Few. But how many of you remember those birth pangs? Everybody. The husbands remember them because they were there and they experienced the trauma of the wife blaming them for those birth pangs. But listen, those birth pangs did what? They got closer together. Started off at a certain intensity, right? And then what happened? As the child was more ready to come out, blame the child, folks. Not the parents. Blame the child. As the child's getting more ready to be delivered, that's what we are. We're the children getting ready to be delivered. Come on now. Get ready. This is our fault. We're what's going on here. Jesus has finished the work. We're going to be the fulfillment of it. As that child gets closer, The pain of that birth intensifies, gets closer together. But what else happens? They get stronger, you know, to where, you know, you're having to breathe harder and all that stuff. Listen, creation is groaning like in childbirth right now. This isn't even us. This is creation. Creation is groaning for this adoption, this redemption of our bodies, this sons of God being manifested in us. It's groaning. And what do you think it appears to groan? How does it appear to us to be groaning at times? Are they not getting stronger? I mean, I haven't heard hardly ever of a 5 tornado, but we had one this year. I think a couple years ago we had the worst tornado outbreak on record. I mean, we've had earthquakes that are just seem to be just getting stronger and stronger. It's creation groaning. And folks, it's only going to get stronger if we read our word, right? Do birth pangs get lesser? You know, don't allow the space between the pang to make you think the pangs went away. That happened to me. I was, after all those tornadoes and stuff, I go, oh man, we're right in it. This is the Bible happening. And then we had a quiet 2011 and part of 2012, or maybe it's 2012, kind of quiet. And I'm going, and then it kind of happened, some stuff happened again this year, and the Lord reminded me, they're birth pangs. It's not always going to be intense. But the reason that these birth pangs are taking place is because of you and me. Some will say, well, it's because of the earth shift off its axis, and now the sun is, and there's different. I mean, all those are basically byproducts of the pangs. But this is all because of you and me. And yeah, it may sound self-centered. It's not self-centered. It's God-centered. It's Father-centered, because he's the one who had this plan from the beginning to take these mortal bodies, these fallen vessels, and restore them to a place of righteousness, wholeness, and make us lights in his glorious kingdom to come. His children, not just by faith, not just in our minds in hope, not just experiencing a little touch here and there, but tangible, we experience what it means to be a child of God in heaven before him. Glorified bodies, never to decay, never to rot, never to do things that we do here, never to have aches and pains for those of you who are getting older. Thank you, Jesus. No more headaches. No more headaches. No more getting tired. Dan, that would be great for you. You could go 24/7. He would if he just didn't have to sleep, right? He does not like sitting still. But listen to this. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that. Now listen, not only creation, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now let's go back up. Let's go back up to Romans 8:18 again. Listen to this. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, all that I said, go back to 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The adoption, the redemption of our body is the glory that shall be revealed. Did you guys hear that? This adoption. When you say, I thought I was adopted. Well, we are adopted. But do we see it fully? Come on. We don't. Why do you think we struggle with all these things in our minds and all this battle of faith? Because hope is not hope unless you can't see it. This hope that we have is an eternal hope, but it's to us, there's still a battle of the guarantee of it. Do you see what I'm saying? No? Okay, let's keep reading then. Because some of you are looking at me cross-eyed. One in particular. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Didn't I just say that? For why does one still hope for what he sees? Right? I mean, that's just basic. But it's deep. We were saved in this hope. When we came to Christ, when we came to the knowledge of the Savior, and we received his goodness and his grace into our life, we were saved in this hope that someday we were not going to have to go to hell. We were going to go to heaven. We were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That's the fight. Perseverance. It is a process. We don't arrive until we arrive. I mean, I don't care how glorified our bodies get down here to the place where we don't even have sickness and disease. I'm believing for that. Where Jesus, the way that he walked here on the earth, we walk the same here on earth. But they're still mortal bodies. Until we receive this glorified body, and folks, it is cool. I can just tell you right now, if you can just think of the way that God does stuff, I believe our glorified bodies are going to be amazing. I don't want to start even talking about what they do. But I believe the abilities and the giftings that we see here are just deposits almost of what our glorified bodies will be able to do. I believe that we even have talents here that will pertain to our glorified bodies. I don't think what we do here and how God's created it just becomes a clean slate and I'll rubber stamp them something else. No, he's put something inside of us, the first fruits of his spirit. But he's also created us with a certain type of temperament and things that we like to do. And I believe those are going to be in a glorified state. That's awesome. I don't want to get into that. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. This is what I wanted to get at, finally. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, capital H, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, there is a groaning that's happening inside of us. It's a yearning. It's a longing. It's not just a desire to just be more like Jesus or just to, you know, see God face to face. It is an internal thing that God has put inside of us as we have received the first fruits of the Spirit for us to be in the fullness of restored vessels, 100% glorified bodies to God. Full redemption. And this groaning is something that we can't even really put into words. I'm trying to even put it into words. It's hard to even put into words. And it will intensify. I'm telling you here, it will intensify. And the thing is that you, as I have here before at times, you can mistaken the groanings. Could be even considered even maybe depressed or upset or frustrated, because it's a yearning. It's a desperation inside of you. Are you following me? It's not just, help me, Lord. It's not just that we are Christians and we live this life in such a way that we, you know, we come to the end and we just hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I've heard that so many times. That is true. But it's that there is more to what God wants to do in us. And I believe that part of it is here, but it's really about there. And that's not wrong. Folks, that is not wrong to be looking for his glorious appearing. I think I preached a sermon on watching and waiting for him, looking for his glorious appearing. But listen, we need to realize that what's going on with the sufferings right now, with the whatever you want to call it, You know, some sufferings are different for others. Sometimes it is sickness and disease. Sometimes it's circumstances and situations. Sometimes it's literal persecution for others in other parts of the world. But I'm convinced the suffering, as Paul was, this present time, are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. So listen, when you start looking at what's going on in your life, and you're letting that, like Eric was sharing, let that affect your joy and your demeanor, you're forgetting the glorious hope. You're forgetting that when this life ends and we receive our faith in its fullness, when hope becomes real, when our what we see with our spiritual eyes becomes what we see with our eyes in the natural. Because that's what it'll be like. All of a sudden, these eyes will see differently. Or the new body's eyes will see differently. I don't know how to say it, but you know what I'm saying. When that becomes real, then all of this, all else that we've known, forget it. And we won't even be able to even compare it. Now, if that's the case, then why isn't the case now? See? Why are we letting what's going on in this life, day to day, circumstances, situation, dictate to us how we respond in joy, in vitality, in passion for God? How? Why? How? It's because we're not remembering and not letting the Spirit that's inside of us yearn and pray for us. We're not quieting our soul enough. We're not taking time to just hear nothing and then let the Spirit of God speak to us. See, the Holy Spirit knows everything that's going on in our life, knows everything that we're dealing with, knows what's waiting for us, and is yearning alongside of us. Holy Spirit's yearning just like we are with our spirit inside of us. Isn't that amazing? That Holy Spirit is taking our frustrated state, our still somewhat fallen nature that still we grapple with on, and taking the Spirit of God that's inside of us, connecting it with the mind of Christ, and praying for us in a way that we can live victorious. Yeah. We can. But we have got to remember that we cannot let what we see with our eyes and we hear with our ears and what we sense with our senses be what dictates to us how we feel, think, and respond to our situations. We can't. We cannot let it. It has to be from the very essence of who we are, the very center of who we are, of how we respond. Because the center of who we are is God. I'm telling you right now. Right here. The center of who we are is God. You know, up here can deceive us sometimes. Even our heart can sometimes deceive us. But deep inside the center of us lies a force that if we let the Spirit of God have its way in us, we will not only receive the glorified state that we're hoping for then, but now we will walk in a way, I believe, that is like Jesus walked in the bosom of the Father. In the bosom of the Father, in total intimacy. And it awaits us. It awaits us. I think that's where that one song came from. Awaken my heart. Awaken my heart to you, O Lord. Awaken my heart. Awaken me to just know you face to face. Not just to see his face and go, oh, but to see his face and in a way that love desires. Do you know what I mean? I always wanted to see God because he's God and he's going to be cool when you see him. You know what I mean? It was kind of an immature way to want to see him. But now I want to see him because I long to see him. I long to see that face. I long to see my love, the one who was and is to come. and loved me when I was unlovable. I mean, the worst unlovable. He loved me. So remember, when you see creation groaning, just remember, you hear a news report that things are getting out of control again. Another hurricane, another storm, whatever the next groan or birth pang that comes on this earth. Remember that there's a groaning inside of you. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong to be homesick. Folks, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to be longing for something else. I'm telling you right now, don't become satisfied with this life in any way. Don't look at this life as, wow, this is amazing. Because it doesn't hold a candle to what God has in store. Yes, brother. Absolutely. Right here, Jess.
Obviously, you feel led by the Spirit to share this because I wouldn't come up here and interrupt, you know. But there's a difference, I feel, between acting like a Christian and reacting like a Christian. Mm. And it's easy for us when circumstances happen that we don't like, it's easy for us to take a step back and think, oh, I shouldn't respond like that. But it's a different thing to have your identity seated as a child of God, where that thought doesn't even cross your mind, where your first reaction is to love them. And it's to be the light of the world to them. It's not, we don't need to act like the light of the world. We need to be the light of the world. We are the light of the world. But that's just what God wanted me to share.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Holy Spirit knows why. Thank you, Lord. Well, would you stand with me? So I want to encourage you to speak confidently when the world sees circumstances and situations happen that are the birth pangs and they freak out. Remind them, or maybe for the first time, tell them why they're happening. So that they don't have to live in fear. Because if they can find out that God is so much at work in the entire creation right now, that it's groaning and yearning for something to take place, and you tell them what that is and let them know that they can be part of it, you can turn that crisis into a day when they become a new creation in Christ. Listen, we're not to be ignorant of the word and how things work. We're not just meant to go through life and just kind of, well, whatever happens, happens. We're to be the truth and the light in this day and age. We're to know the truth. The truth is to be, hello. I'm okay. Doesn't sound like it. Oh, gotcha. Don't freak out. Told you I'm a squirrel, man. Like, not just sea squirrels, I am a squirrel. I'll run up a tree. But do not let the times and the seasons just be something that you just let come by May. Come your way and just say, oh, well, this is life as I know it. Then I'll just have to deal with it. No. It's a sign. It's a sign of a greater day coming. It's a sign of a glorious future that we need to embrace as the people of God. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that creation is groaning right now. It is travailing, Lord, right now with birth pangs for us to be manifested as your people. Lord, not only today, but Lord, in the by and by, God, when we see you face to face, when all of what Jesus did on the cross comes into fulfillment. But Lord, we pray that today, yes, today, Lord, that word of truth, God, that's come to us, that we would live a little differently. We would not, as Glenn so clearly said, just be acting a certain way as Christians. But Lord, we would be reacting as children of God to everything around us. That what stems forth out of us and comes from us, Lord, is seated in you. Lord, I thank you, God, for doing a mighty work in me, in us, that does not make sense to our natural minds. Most of this message, if someone listened to it on the internet and was not a Christian, would turn me off, say, that's a flake. But in Christ, it's so true. And it warms our hearts with the love of the Father. Thank you, God. I pray a blessing, God, over your children right now, God. I pray, Lord, that you would establish their steps. God, that you would guide them, Lord, and lead them, Lord, in paths of righteousness. Lord, that you would let them find pastures, Lord, where they can rest and be refreshed, God, and renewed in you. Lord, that you would let them find places, Lord, of still water, Lord, that they can drink, Lord, in those who thirst, God, for more of you. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just let homes of faith rise up, Lord, in this house. God, houses, Lord, where your name is proclaimed first, above and beyond everything else, God. And Lord, that allegiance to you, Lord, is not duty, Lord, but it's a declaration. And we just thank you, God, for this day that we live in, that we have been blessed in this time to be in the kingdom of God, to be used by you for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.